Stars twinkle in the night sky above a blanket of white clouds. Lying far below are hillside towns and villages, their lights scattered beside a glimmering river winding down from the distant horizon. At the boundary wall of this magical kingdom stands a magnificent fairy tale castle with the river flowing through it. A flag flutters atop its tallest spire as fireworks explode in the cloud-streaked sky. Glittering lights arc over the castle turrets. Disney. A title appears in letters dotted with small lights. Disney presents. A road sign reads, "Welcome to Pennsylvania. Pursue your happiness." Rows of gable-roofed houses sit nestled amid trees. In a house with wall cladding, a handmade marquee sign on a bedroom door reads, "Nate." Inside, a glittery sign reading, "Dreams," sits before a drama trophy, and the walls bear posters for musicals. A bright-eyed boy picks up a phone and grins at an alarm label reading, "Cast list posted today." He stretches as he sits up in bed. Setting a teal rabbit's foot on his nightstand, he throws off the covers and grabs a pair of bunny slippers from under his bed. He tightens the belt on a bathrobe and pulls up the hood, then struts across the room in his fuzzy slippers. Executing a graceful turn, he leaves the bedroom. As he does a lively shuffle to the bathroom, an older teen opens the door in a towel.
Bro, it's like 7 a.m.
Inside the bathroom, Nate turns on the shower, then sprays himself with men's deodorant. Turning off the shower, he writes his name on a foggy mirror. Words in marquee letters appear around the signature to form the title, "Better Nate Than Ever." Nate wipes the mirror clean and grins at his reflection. Back in his room, he grabs a few garments from his closet and flings them. Dancing his fingers over a dresser, he grabs a hairbrush, then throws open a curtain and poses like a singer in the sunshine. His phone shows an incoming call from a girl named Libby.
"Hi. Hello. I couldn't sleep. Could you sleep? Because I couldn't sleep."
"And good morning to you, Nate. Slept like a baby. Today is very low stakes for me."
Libby sips from a tiny cup.
"I'll just be happy if I get cast in the chorus."
"You should have auditioned for a big part. We should be, like, nervous about this together."
"Yeah, no thanks. I don't really do rejection. Anyway, I was just calling to say good luck, or break a leg. You deserve the lead this year."
"You really think so?"
"I mean, should Wicked have beaten Avenue Q at the 2004 Tony Awards?"
"Obviously."
"I rest my case."
Nate smiles at a Wicked poster on his wall. In the kitchen, he grinds coffee beans and makes himself a cup. A woman enters.
"Hey, you're up early."
"Today's the day, Ma. Is this sweater trying too hard? I want my look to say I'm honored to have been cast as the lead role, but I wasn't expecting it."
"They're posting the cast list for the school play today."
"Musical. Sorry. Musical, not play."
"Yo, yo."
"Anthony, please, track bag in the clean laundry? Really?"
The older teen drinks juice from a jug.
"No cup."
"What am I, six?"
"All right, you two. Nate, please, get going. The bus is going to be here any minute."
On his way out, Anthony stops and turns to Nate.
"Are you wearing lipstick?"
"No."
"Bro, you're wearing lipstick."
"It's lip gloss. Clinical strength. The pediatrician said my lip skin is unusually sensitive."
"Did the pediatrician actually say that?"
"Work with me here, Ma."
Anthony blinks and shakes his head.
"All right, just wait for my truck to pull out before you leave. And untuck your sweater. You're trying too hard."
He leaves the house.
"Ignore Anthony. Obviously."
Nate untucks his color-blocked sweater. Outside, he waves after his brother's departing pickup truck. As he stands on the sidewalk carrying a paper bag, a school bus pulls up, obscuring him from view. The doors open and Nate climbs on board, flashing a cheery smile.
"Good day, governor."
The driver stares.
"Tough crowd."
As the bus moves off, Nate walks down the aisle, passing stone-faced kids. A boy blocks an empty seat with a class project, and Nate continues on with a downcast look. A girl moves her bag for him. Nate smiles, but a big kid leaps to his feet.
"No more girls in this row."
"Haha, super original."
"Go on, ladies first."
As Nate goes to sit, the bully grabs the rabbit's foot clipped to his backpack.
"What? Don't touch my rabbit foot!"
Nate accidentally elbows the boy.
"Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry.
The bully bleeds from his nose.
Can I have my rabbit foot back?
Sit down, boys.
Better watch your back in the hall today, loser.
The bully shoves Nate, who wears a dismayed expression as he takes his seat. He pulls his phone out of his pocket. A text from Libby reads, "The cast list is up. Find me. I have good news."
Good news.
He leans back. At school, his locker door slams shut. Now, Nate walks onto a stage.
Wow, this is an honor. Wow, I can't believe it. I'll leave.
Arriving at a call board, he runs his finger down a cast list. A tall, curly-haired boy looks on, wearing a sympathetic expression.
Better luck next time, Nate.
Thanks. Congratulations on getting the role of Abraham Lincoln in Lincoln the Unauthorized Rock Musical. You're gonna be amazing.
Thanks.
Nate starts to leave.
Nathan, did you see the list?
He eyes the teacher somberly.
It's a big role, the title role. It's a lot for someone who's never had a leading role before.
It's hard to get a leading role when no one will give you a chance, so.
Libby waits nearby.
If you'll excuse me, I need to have a word with my associate.
In a bathroom stall, Libby paints her nails.
Good news, you texted that you had good news. Libby, I wasn't even cast as Lincoln's understudy. I didn't even get his son, who's dead. And yes, we will have fun in the chorus together, but I was cast as a tree, Libby. A tree. You realize what this says about me, right? That my parents are right? I should just give up on my dreams now.
Can I talk yet, or are you still yelling?
I'm still yelling! Okay, you can talk now.
Name the best animated movie of all time.
I don't know. Pre-Moana or post-Moana?
Lilo and Stitch, Nady. Lilo and Stitch!
Sorry, I thought we were alone.
You guys are so weird.
We know.
Okay, Lilo and Stitch, cult classic. I'm intrigued. Go on.
I've got some breaking news about this weekend.
Whatever it is, it better not involve any more glitter lip gloss. I'm serious.
She shows him a casting call on her phone.
Manhattan Island, baby. It's an open audition.
Nate gapes.
Tomorrow. Ever since we were little, we've been like,
we should take a road trip to New York someday.
Just you and me. So, I had this crazy idea.
They're making Lilo and Stitch into a Broadway musical?
In a fantasy New York.
Wow.
A crowd in 50s attire eyes Nate.
Nate Foster, yes?
Absolutely, yes.
Welcome to the first audition of the rest of your life!
Nate beams from behind a taxi cutout. Anthony steps out of the crowd.
You really think you're gonna drive to New York in a cab?
Libby snaps her fingers, bringing Nate out of the fantasy.
So, how would we even get to New York? Would Stitch pick us up in his spaceship?
Okay, first of all, tone. Second, no. We'll sneak away on an overnight bus.
Libby, my mom doesn't even let me go to Rite Aid alone.
Come on, Foster, live a little.
I'd hate to not be your date to the Tony Awards.
In another fantasy, Nate sits in an audience.
And the Tony Award for Best Actor of All Time goes to...
Where would you even sleep in New York?
His mom sips from a mug.
Where would we even sleep?
Hello? What about your aunt?
Oh, good point. Nightmare scenario.
Oh, wow. Love her that much, huh?
I thought she was some big Broadway actress.
She is. And she would report me to my mom immediately. They have very antagonistic Glinda versus Alphabet Act 1 energy.
You really think we're gonna arrive in New York City and run into your aunt in a city of 17 billion people?
With my luck, yes.
Nate, you didn't even get cast as Lincoln's dead son. You don't have luck.
They stand in a hallway.
Yo, Nady the lady, watch your back.
The bully makes a slicing gesture across his neck. Nate eyes Libby.
You know what? Forget New York. I'm just trying to survive seventh grade.
He heads off, trailing toilet paper from one shoe.
Well, Nate, that's... Okay.
Libby turns away with a frustrated look. At home, Anthony does stretches.
We need a West Virginia...
Hello, oh, no. Hi!
This is a West Virginia...
As Nate's family looks at him, he notices a pair of suitcases.
Oh my gosh. Did we get evicted?
What?
Not yet.
No!
Okay, he's home. Will you guys just spill? What's going on?
Boys! Daddy is taking me away for the weekend. Somewhere fancy in West Virginia for our big anniversary. Surprise!
We can afford fancy?
That's why I got an event of credit cards. And your mom's been working double shifts, and so she's earned it.
And Daddy had a really good job interview today.
He's Nate smiles excitedly.
But the sitter is tied up, so...
Oh, I'm not watching him this weekend. No way.
Don't you have an away game tomorrow?
It's not a game. It's a meet.
And you're going to win it. And one of these days soon, you're going to get that full ride to college.
Don't jinx me, Dad.
You always win.
He always wins.
I could...
Everyone looks to Nate.
I could stay at Libby's mom's place tonight.
Could you? Would that be too much trouble?
He beams.
What? You would never let me stay the night at a girl's house.
You're not Nate. Nate's different.
Nate frowns uncertainly. In his room, he tosses his bag, then packs a Broadway dream journal and a photo of a famous Broadway actress. He picks the body spray over a charger and leaves. At Libby's.
Okay. Let's go over the checklist. Did you take a series of selfies at your house to post on Instagram at strategic intervals?
Yes, I have over 200 options.
Did you triple feed your dog?
Check.
What do you say if the casting director asks for our parents' phone numbers?
We give them each other's and then I pretend to be your dad if the casting people call.
Correct, but you should probably pretend to be my mom. Your voice hasn't changed yet. Did you pack your headshot?
Nate beams and holds out a photo.
Oh, Nate, that's like... a wallet's high school photo from when you had your worst haircut.
My dad doesn't have a job, Libby. We don't just have glossy 8x10s ready to go.
Tone.
Nate lowers his gaze sheepishly. As Libby grabs her backpack, he opens a window.
Okay, lift to the bus station is almost here.
Libby claps and her room lights go off. She eyes Nate at the window.
What is happening right now?
I've always wanted to climb out a window. Like the Tonight duet on the fire escape in West Side Story.
You really want to break your ankle before we get to this audition?
Nate presses his lips together and closes the window. Libby heads for the door.
Hey, Lib.
She turns to him.
Why are you doing all this for me?
Because it damages my clout when my best friend isn't even cast as Abraham Lincoln's understudy. And I figured you could use the mood lift. Plus, my love language is quality time, so.
Did you just say you love me?
The list's gonna be here in like 12 seconds. Go.
In the car, the friends buckle in. The ride pulls away from Libby's mansion. Later, the kids board a bus.
This is probably good practice for the New York City transit system.
Yeah, it is.
How much were the bus tickets? I'll Venmo you.
You can pay me back when you're a big Broadway star.
They take their seats.
Okay, folks.
Also, I'm using your shoulder as a pillow when you're dealing with it.
Libby dons a pink eye mask and leans her head on Nate's shoulder. Sitting back up, she lifts the mask.
Hey. So when we get there, I know you kind of think of Times Square as a 1950s Guys and Dolls fantasia, but people don't actually dance in the street. They mug you.
Hey, we may be small, but...
But what?
I'm trying to think of something.
Exactly.
She pulls her eye mask back down and leans on Nate, who rests his head against hers. Now, the lights of the city glow in the distance as the bus travels down a highway. Libby shifts against Nate's shoulder.
Okay. Good evening, folks. Once again, my name is Elliot L. P.
Goodbye, Pittsburgh.
Leaning against the window, Nate closes his eyes. He yawns. Lights flash rhythmically. The bus's wheel transforms into a cardboard one as a bus cutout is carried away to reveal Nate under spotlights in a white tuxedo.
I got my ticket in my pocket. I got my heart here on my sleeve.
In a fantasy Times Square.
Don't worry about me, cause I got this. They're gonna regret doubting me.
Nate dodges locals.
The lights are bright, people are crazy. I see it all through my window.
He eyes a hat in a store.
Buildings are tall, it doesn't faze me. Don't gotta worry, cause I know, I know, I know that this is where I'm supposed to be. I might be young, but I'm mighty. So let the talkers talk. They can say what they say. They're gonna see my name and lights up on the marquee. To the big time.
He poses in a photo booth.
I'm headed to the big time.
Now, four women hold newspapers that spell out his name.
People are staring as I walk by. They wonder if I'm coming sick.
You're crazy.
But I'm from South Denver, beside. Walk with a smile on my face. Cause I know that this is where I'm supposed to be.
Men and women in 50s clothing dance around Nate. Nate runs across the street to a taxi cutout. People wave.
I'm headed to the big time.
He dances with sailors.
I'm headed to the big time.
Headed to the big time.
A marching band performs. Nate takes photos of women in sparkly outfits as they twirl their batons and kick their feet up high. The men play instruments. The sailors run onto the shop-lined street and dance with female partners. Now, Nate swings from a lamppost.
I'll make you proud of me, I swear. I'm working hard, I'm almost there. And if I prove my worth and prove everyone wrong, well, maybe then I'll finally feel like I actually belong. Cause if I make it big, I won't get left behind. So yeah, I'm small, but I'm oh,
theater ushers lift Nate into the air and spin him.
So let the talkers talk, they can say what they say. I'm gonna say my name and lights up on the marquee one day.
He walks backward down a red carpet lined with ushers. Climbing a ladder, he emerges on top of a theater with his name on the marquee.
I'm headed to the big time.
Nate.
Big time.
On the bus.
You were drooling and singing. It was incredible.
Nate wipes his mouth.
Look.
He and Libby stare out the window. The New York City skyline looms in the distance, reflected in their window. Now, a jackhammer drills into a road, trash bags are tossed in a pile, and a rat scurries along a street, outside the bus terminal.
It's great.
It's glorious. Operation Broadway, step 2.
Standing on the sidewalk, Nate scrolls through photos.
Oh, post that one, where you're clipping your dog's nails in your kitchen. You look especially innocent.
Tourist.
Thank you!
The kids' gleeful expressions falter as they look up. A view from overhead shows the two of them surrounded by a sea of moving umbrellas as rain pours down on them. Now, an elevator door opens to reveal the drenched pair. Libby wears a scarf on her head.
Maybe we should just turn around. My hair doesn't do wet.
We just got here. Live a little.
Oh, look at you, quoting me. I'll allow it.
They approach a desk manned by a security guard. Nate beams.
Hello. We're here to audition for Lilo and Stitch. The musical. The Broadway musical.
First time in New York?
Yeah, how could you?
That wasn't a question.
The guard jerks his head down the hall. Nate and Libby round a corner into a hallway, teeming with children and their accompanying adults. Two girls in full splits bend backward gracefully. The adults carry professional headshots of the kids. A boy does side stretches. A dark-haired girl and her mother face each other before Nate and Libby. Nate gapes.
And what do we say if they ask how old we are?
I say however old the character Lilo is in the script. And then I wink.
Nate and Libby trade a look.
Okay.
A man appears at the end of the hallway.
Let's cast a musical.
A young woman near him sips a beverage through a straw. As the casting director heads in, she faces the crowd.
We are expecting
expecting 1,000 kids in the next 24 hours. So I need the first 25 kids to look at their numbers and line themselves up against this mirrored wall in ascending order.
I didn't realize there'd be math on this test.
And just a reminder, you must indicate in the application if you are allergic to macadamia nuts, Hawaii, big subplot.
A kid slaps his number 13 sticker on a bench as he leaves, sobbing.
Ugh, amateur. Shh. And most important, if you are under 18, I need you to sign in with a physically present parent or guardian today, or you will not be auditioning. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Nate stares, his jaw slack.
Next!
In Pittsburgh, Anthony exits the house.
You ready to set some records, bro?
Yeah, for sure.
His friend gets behind the wheel of a slick red car. Toting his gym bag, Anthony hesitates by the passenger side door, staring at the house.
You good?
I feel like I'm missing something.
He glances into his track bag, his lips parted in a puzzled expression. He shrugs. He and his friend get into the car, then they both pop back out.
Huh. Whatever. Let's bounce.
They get in. A bobblehead Buddha adorns the dashboard. An identical one nods in a parlor where Nate's parents get massages.
You have a cell phone, honey. You're not supposed to have a cell phone in here.
Look what Nate just posted. He's clipping the dog's nails.
There you go. Oh. Our boys can survive for one weekend without us. Now let's please try to relax. It's the tricep again, ma'am. You gotta lay off the triceps.
Don't forget to breathe.
In line for the audition, Nate breathes rapidly.
Try not to hyperventilate. We'll figure something out.
Nate swings his backpack around and feels the front, then closes his eyes anxiously.
You don't have your lucky rabbit foot.
Jimmy Madison took it. I hope karma hits him in the form of a bus. I mean, a metaphorical bus. Obviously, I'm against violence at a core level, but
you're distracting my kid. She needs to concentrate.
His blood sugar's low. Show some respect.
Nate smiles at Libby.
Have you done character work before? I'm sorry, what?
Have you done costume character work before? I played a snowman in a full bodysuit in the Radio City Christmas Spectacular. Twice. I turned it down the third year so I wouldn't be pigeonholed as not having a face.
That's incredible.
Yes. Yes, it is. Good luck!
You're supposed to say break a leg. Next!
Nate and Libby step up.
Are you guys here for the audition?
Funny you should ask that, madam.
You bet! We drove all night to be here. I mean, we didn't drive, my mom did. We're children. I mean, if you needed us to learn to drive a car for the show for any reason, we're very fast learners.
Really? Because the competition seems to think you're flying solo.
Behind the young woman, the mother and daughter wear smug expressions.
First group of kids are on deck.
One sec. Listen up, everybody. Unless you have a parent or guardian with you, please do not waste your time or ours.
She glares at Nate and Libby.
Nathan?
The kids turn.
Foster?
And Heidi.
It is you. Okay. Okay.
We're with her. This is incredible.
Later.
I was this close to not even coming to this audition today. And then something in me was like, do it, Heidi. And then this. It's like you're a sign.
Thank you. I've been called many names in my life, but sign is a first. Wait, you're auditioning for Lilo and Stitch too?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm two doors down. Yeah, did you see all those ladies trying to still pass for the mid-30s? Yeah, we're all up for the same play. It's called A Solitary Woman. Perfect for it. So, yeah. Where is your mom? Is she in the bathroom, or?
The kids trade a look.
All these years of her judging me for following my dreams and being the black sheep, and she's bringing you to an audition? Ah! Love it. And I love that you're still acting. I'm not surprised. I'm not, because you are the only toddler whose first word was me.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? Is this your girlfriend?
No.
We haven't chosen a label at this point in our relationship.
Okay.
Nate eyes Libby curiously.
I'm just so happy to see you.
Mom's not here. Nate! What? It was bound to come out in like 3 minutes.
Wait, so, okay, but what do you mean she's not here? So who brought you? Your dad?
No. He thinks Broadway is a four-letter word.
Okay, wait. So you're telling me?
We ran away from home, lady.
Oh.
Nate cringes.
Right, okay. All right, so, responsible adult mode.
Heidi takes out her phone.
My greatest acting role yet. Woof. Hi, Sherry. It's your sister. I know it's been a couple years. Okay, I'm 10, I guess. All right, why don't I have your mom's cell?
Because it's been a while since you've spoken. Heidi didn't show up to my parents' wedding. She was the maid of honor and everything.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah, well.
A few women walk past the cafe they're in.
And I just missed my audition, so that's awesome.
I can't believe you still have to audition for things. You've been on Broadway.
You have no idea, kid. All right, what's your mom's cell? Spill it.
It's 412-555-8720.
Libby discreetly picks up her phone.
Okay.
She holds it behind her back.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Nate nudges Libby.
Please record your message.
Hi. Sherry, I'm with my nephew, your son, Nathan.
Nate.
He's alive. He's 12 seconds away from being murdered by his aunt. But, you know, he's fine. He is fine. And I'm gonna get him on the next airplane.
Bus, we can't afford an airplane.
Home. And, you know, maybe someday we can all laugh at this. If there's a world where we ever speak again.
She shakes her head and blows out a breath.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
She hangs her head.
Incredible work.
Excuse me?
I truly believed you cared about her. I'm with Nate. I can't believe you stopped auditioning for things.
Please.
Okay, first group of kids for Lilo. Let's do this.
Nate's eyes widen.
All right, let's get out of here.
He bounces in place.
What's this?
It's his pee dance. It's a thing. Libby.
Okay, well, just go. Fast, okay?
That's not good for your bladder.
Go!
Nate heads out of the cafe.
Is he always like this?
Hilarious? Yes.
Takes after me.
In a studio.
Do I have everybody? Where's number 13?
In the hallway, Nate pauses, smiling to himself, then grabs the number 13 sticker off the bench and puts it on as he approaches the young woman working at a desk.
Where's the bathroom?
Back to the left.
Cool.
He walks past her and turns right just as she looks up and glances behind her. In the studio, Nate joins a row of kids facing a bald man.
Today, we're not looking for people to act opposite a puppet. The role of Stitch will require a versatile child whose performance will need to read through a full body suit. We are seeking both a Lilo and a Stitch. If you can dance in either of these roles, all the better.
And you cannot be afraid of heights, I should add. There will be a big power ballad moment that takes place literally above the audience's head, where Stitch pilots the plane through the mountains of Honolulu. Yeah. Thank you.
Heidi and Libby wait in the cafe.
You don't want something to eat, do you?
I'm good.
Good, okay.
Yeah.
In the studio. Nate stifles a smile. The bald man steps to the dark-haired girl.
Let's try that again. Imagine you're seeing a blue dog-like alien for the first time in your life, and it makes you scream.
The man hangs his head, then leans toward a curly-haired woman making notes on a clipboard.
Yet no, for sure, hard agree.
Before I make the first cut, does anyone have a special skill they'd like to demonstrate?
Make the first cut? All we did was scream.
I'm an award-winning tumbler.
Is that so? Number six.
Yes. I'm the reigning junior Mr. Northeast Flipper.
The boy does a series of handsprings, then performs a graceful front walkover while Nate stares, goggle-eyed. As the boy steps back in place among the kids, Nate bursts into applause. He eyes the others.
Yeah, fine. Any other Mary Lou Rettons in the room?
The bald man turns away. Nate's hand shoots up.
Garrett.
I can sort of dance. I mean, not like that. That was ridiculous. But I can do knee crawls.
Knee crawls?
Yeah, like Fiddler on the Roof style knee crawls. I was a bottle dancer in an off-Broadway production. In my friend's basement. In Pittsburgh. I'm going to shut up now.
Give him a chance.
Well, this I have to see.
Okay, pretend I have a bottle on my head.
Got it.
And a beard. Mazel tov!
His pants split as he lunges.
Oh my gosh, my pants!
Your pants?
Yeah, I got caught in the rain, and I think my pants shrunk, and now they're way too tight for me to do my knee crawl things. Does anybody have any extra shorts?
That won't be necessary.
For the record, I have a ton of phobias, but heights isn't one of them.
Garrett eyes the casting director.
I think we can make the cut now.
Wearing a dejected look, Nate gets back in line.
Good try.
Thanks, number 12.
Okay, I'm gonna say this one more time. This is not personal, and you're all sensational. It's like I'm looking at Juilliard drama class of 2027. All right. If I don't read your number, I will see you on
the next one. Like there will even be a next one. Cut at my first and last Broadway audition. That's gonna be the name of my memoir title.
Hey, at least you got to audition, right?
Yeah, by breaking into the audition and lying to your aunt, by the way. Okay, it is so weird to me that your mom's only response to my voicemail is a thumbs up emoji.
That's not so weird.
And it's an African-American thumbs up emoji.
Her hand must have slipped.
Good afternoon. 2 p.m. to Pittsburgh, now boarding. 2 p.m. to Pittsburgh.
Well, I may have missed my audition, but I refuse to miss the most well-paying bar mitzvah in U.S. history, so I should go.
Wait, you're a rabbi now?
Ignoring that. No, I have to be at the Natural History Museum in like 20 minutes, so.
Yes, dinosaurs.
Well, I'm just catering, so don't be jealous.
I would trade my entire life with you right now if I could be a caterer in New York.
One day, Nate, I have complete confidence that you will be a caterer in New York. In the meantime, middle school is calling your name.
Nate and his blonde, shaggy-haired aunt gaze at each other, their expressions muted.
For the record,
yeah.
I totally understand why you missed the wedding. You had your first ever Broadway callback. I would have done the same thing.
Libby stares at Heidi.
I tell.
Heidi shifts awkwardly.
I gotta go. What am I doing? All right.
She waves as she starts to leave.
You two, you take care of each other, right?
Libby nods and trades a look with Nate.
Yes, good. Good.
Heidi heads for the doors, glancing back as the kids board an escalator.
Final boarding, 2 p.m. Port Authority to Pittsburgh. Final boarding.
Nate catches sight of a kiosk selling rabbit's feet. Hurrying back down the escalator, he makes his way over and excitedly grabs a multicolored one. In the studio.
So, if I'm reading the room, Kalea is our top contender for Lilo.
Adore her energy. She is already on vocal rest.
So this is the afternoon callback group then.
The curly-haired woman rifles through headshots.
Hold on. Where's the kid?
Which kid? These are all kids.
The weird funny one. The Fiddler on the Roof bottle dance boy.
You liked that kid?
He was like my favorite kid.
He referred to Pittsburgh as off-Broadway.
He was spunky.
I don't think we even got his contact info, so.
Not true.
His friend left this with me. Phone number's on the back.
The young woman holds out Nate's school photo.
That is the worst haircut I've seen in 32 years of casting.
Meanwhile, Nate and Libby board a bus.
Well, today could have been better.
Today could have been worse.
They take their seats, the new rabbit's foot clipped to Nate's backpack. Taking out his phone, Nate sees 15 unread messages and one voicemail. Frowning, he plays the voicemail and puts the phone to his ear. His eyes widen.
Driver, stop the bus!
What are you doing?
I got a call back. I have to be there in like 20 minutes.
You gotta... Wait, what?
Hello, someone getting off?
This wasn't a part of the plan.
But we do everything together, which is exactly my point.
Tone.
Libby shuts her eyes briefly, then stands.
If I'm gone any longer and my parents figure it out, they're gonna ground me. For life.
Libby, are you mad that I auditioned without you?
No, Nate, I love the theater, but I don't really love being on stage. I'm still trying to find my thing. And I kind of only do the school shows to be with, you know.
She puts her hand on his.
With you.
The other passengers watch them. The driver leans out of his seat.
Make a decision, kids.
Libby, you know how much you mean to me, but I'm not like that.
Sliding his hand off of Libby's, Nate grabs his backpack. A middle-aged passenger leans in.
Honey, let him go. I'll explain to you on the ride home.
Are you staying on or are you getting off?
Nate eyes his friend.
I'm really sorry, Lib.
He moves away.
No, I...
Heading to the front of the bus, he gets off.
I've been there, sweetheart, and I married the guy.
Libby looks toward the doors, her brow slightly furrowed. She sinks back into her seat. Pressing a hand to her window, she gazes out dolefully, then leans back in her seat with a heartbroken expression. Meanwhile, Nate runs down the escalator and points toward the kiosk.
The rabbit foot worked!
An employee gives him a thumbs up. Exiting the terminal, Nate jumps and slaps the metal frame above the doors. Back home.
Nate! You still at Libby's? I'm home! Hey, do we have any ace bandages in Dad's medicine cabinet?
Anthony hobbles in on crutches.
Yo! Nate!
A photo on a nearby shelf shows him holding a trophy on a running track. Anthony sees it and sets it face down. He shoves his crutches away. Limping past another photo showing himself and Nate as young boys, he grabs the jug of juice from the fridge and finds a note on it.
Hanging with Lib. Congrats on probably getting first place. First place. Yeah.
He crumples the note and tosses it. He answers a video call from his friend.
Dude, party tonight.
Dude, I can barely walk.
That's why we're coming to you. We want to cheer you up for Biffing out there today. Aren't your parents away on their woo-woo retreat thing?
Dude, I don't know.
Dude,
can I come make your boo-boo better?
A girl smiles invitingly.
Yeah, okay. It's on.
Yes.
All right, later.
Spotting four bowls of dog food laid out on the floor, Anthony hobbles over, frowning. A brown dog pads in and eats from one of the bowls. Anthony checks his phone and sees a photo of Nate and the dog on Nate's social media. Anthony looks between an ornamental tree figure in the background of the photo and the actual thing in a corner of the kitchen.
Weird.
In the studio.
Let the storm rage on. Cold never bothered me anyway.
The creative team sits at a table.
I've never had a boy sing Let It Go, I'll give you that.
Thank you so much.
Oh, a crazy question, Nate, but did you happen to bring a monologue with you today?
Monologue?
Yeah, like a short speech.
Emphasis on short.
Oh, no, I know what a monologue is. I just didn't...
Okay, no problem. That's all we need.
Oh, wait, I have something. I do.
The young woman eyes the casting director.
The night the lights went out in Georgia.
Can't say I've heard of that one, but if you want to give it a try.
You probably didn't know, Marjorie, that Suzanne was the only contestant in Georgia pageant history to sweep every category except congeniality. And that is not something the women in my family aspire to anyway. Or that when she walked down the runway in her swimsuit, five contestants quit on the spot. Or that when she emerged from the isolation booth to answer the question, what would you do to prevent war? She spoke so eloquently of patriotism, battlefields, and diamond tiaras, grown men wept.
Okay.
And you probably didn't know, Marjorie, that Suzanne was not just any Miss Georgia. She was the Miss Georgia. She didn't just twirl a baton. That baton was on fire! And when she threw that baton into the air, it flew higher, further, faster than any baton has ever flown before, hitting a transformer and showering the darkened arena with sparks.
Nate struts forward.
And when it finally did come down, Marjorie, my sister, caught that baton as 12,000 people jumped to their feet for 16 and one half minutes of uninterrupted, thunderous ovation as flames illuminated her tear-stained face. And
he smacks the table.
Marjorie, just so you will know, and your children will someday know, is the night the lights went out in Georgia.
He grabs some pens on the table and drops them dramatically.
And scene.
He runs back to his original spot.
Sorry, my southern accent was a little wobbly. Weird.
Was that Edward Albee?
Close. Designing women.
The young woman blinks and furrows her brow.
Nate, are you local?
Nate clutches the rabbit's foot behind his back.
Are you already spending the night in New York? I mean... Look, can you be back tomorrow? I think the director should meet you.
Garrett wears a resigned expression.
Can you run out and give his mother the info?
You can just tell me. Mom's probably wandering the halls or something, looking for celebrities.
You can remember all the details?
Of course. I have a pornographic memory.
The adults frown.
Tomorrow, at the New Amsterdam Theater on West 41st Street, come to the stage door at 10:30 a.m. sharp, okay?
That's where The Lion King opened.
Is that a question?
No. Sorry, do you mind if I exit out the window? The West Side Story balcony scene is on my bucket list.
We're on the fourth floor and there's no fire escapes.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
He dons his backpack. The young woman opens the door for him.
Mom!
Send in the next kid.
The casting director rubs his eyes wearily. Outside, Nate walks past the security guard working at his desk, then stops and bounces in a circle. The guard stares. Nate steadies himself.
Libby.
He types on his phone. His phone dies.
I don't believe this.
He calls the elevator. Now, the lights of the city glow in the distance as Libby's bus travels along a highway at night. A man sleeps open-mouthed beside Libby, who gazes out her window at the passing buildings. Meanwhile, a glass door with hanging bells opens and shuts. A hand grabs a boxed charging cable off a hook.
Next online!
Approaching a gum-chewing cashier, Nate places the box and some crumpled bills on the counter.
Would you like to make a donation to help children with leukemia?
No, thank you. Would you like to make a donation to children who don't have a place to sleep tonight?
You're short.
Excuse me?
You're a dollar short.
Nate reaches into his pocket and pulls out a plastic bag with a few coins in it. He stuffs it back in.
Look, I really need to buy a phone charger.
Next online!
At the next counter, a man sets down a plunger.
I'm not the prank kind, but I'm gonna pray for you, ma'am.
The cashier pushes her tongue through her bubblegum. Heading for the doors, Nate pauses by a coat donation box and examines a purple jacket lying on top. With a glance back toward the cashier, he takes the jacket and hurries out. Later, he wears the jacket as he trudges down a sidewalk with metal scaffolding. Nate clutches the straps of his backpack, from which the multicolored rabbit's foot dangles. At the end of the sidewalk, he looks up, his face bathed in the soft glow of lights. With his jaw hanging open, he steps into Times Square, billboards flashing all around him as he walks through a crowd. He stops and turns in a circle, taking in the sights with an awestruck expression. Seeing a man playing the saxophone nearby, Nate strolls over. Another man sits at a drum set. A few other musicians wait around nearby. Someone tosses a coin.
Hey, now. Keep up the good work, kid.
George Benson extends a fist and Nate bumps it with his own.
You're sounding good.
As the singer grins and steps away, Nate stares after him, then picks up the coin off the ground and eyes it intently. A little later, a crowd watches him perform with the Buskers.
They say that I won't last too long.
Film him on their phones. Playing his instrument, the guitarist jerks his head at Nate, who grabs his backpack and holds it out to the crowd, collecting tips. Beams, his chest heaving. He high-fives the musicians as well as people in the crowd.
I'm happy to take requests.
Do you know anything from Fiddler on the Roof?
Do I? Awesome!
Later at the store.
Next online.
Nate approaches the cashier.
Hello.
He sets the charger down.
Funds have been raised. I will be paying for this with quarters and dimes.
With his eyes fixed on the cashier, he pushes his plastic money bag, now full of coins, across the counter.
I will also be purchasing this coat.
On the bus, Libby watches Lilo and Stitch on her phone.
No! What did you say?
Ohana rules family. Family rules nobody.
Meanwhile, Nate plugs his new charger into a socket at a kiosk and makes a call. Libby's phone shows an incoming call from Nate. She glances out her window thoughtfully, then answers the call, putting the phone to her ear.
Hi.
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 So, about what went down on the bus?
What is all that noise?
Where in the name of Stephen Joshua Sondheim are you?
New York City.
Still, Libby, I got a final call back for tomorrow, and it's at the New Amsterdam Theater.
But that's only if I don't get killed first. I called Aunt Heidi, it went right to voicemail.
And I don't know where she lives, and I have no idea where I'm gonna sleep tonight.
Nate, stop spinning.
Your aunt's probably still at the museum doing that bar mitzvah thing.
Just
Find her there.
Nate pulls his charger out of the socket.
Okay, see,
this is why I love you.
Libby smiles.
I really do. And just look, you've had my back from day one. And even if you don't like being on stage, Lib, you're still a star. I still need you. And when you find the thing that you love, I'll be cheering for you.
Libby checks her phone, then holds it to her chest. Nate frowns.
Lib, you're being really quiet. Are we still best friends?
He lowers his phone and sees a call failed notification. Two men walk past with a stroller.
Excuse me? Would you gentlemen happen to know how to get to the Natural History Museum?
They sign to each other.
The dinosaurs.
Yeah, the cute little dinosaurs.
Quick flashes show dinosaur skeletons with sharp teeth and claws on display at the museum. Nate approaches a security desk. A guard sits balancing a pen between her nose and lips. She hurriedly puts the pen down and rises.
Welcome to the museum. Are you here for the bar mitzvah?
Yes, I would never miss a museum bar mitzvah.
Terrific. Name?
She picks up a clipboard.
How about this? This is gonna be fun. You read out who hasn't checked in yet, and I'll tell you which one I am.
You look a little underdressed for a party.
Smiling, she jerks her head toward the exit. Nate stares.
Shall I escort you to the exit, or would you...
She answers a phone.
No, but yes, as I said 20 minutes ago, we
are... 13-year-olds could eat so much.
Nearby.
I don't even like steak tartare, and I'm 25. Oh, crap, I forgot the asparagus.
Keep it parked. I'll go get him.
Okay.
One caterer leaves while the other pulls out his phone as he waits by a cart. Diving to the floor, Nate does a belly crawl to the cart and climbs in through the drapes hanging over its sides. The guard on the phone looks toward the caterer, who shrugs. Now in an elevator, Nate remains hidden beneath the cart.
What a night!
You never realize how much you dislike 13-year-olds till you work a party for them, huh, Heidi?
They're not all so bad. I wish I were as unjaded as my hilariously bold nephew.
Oh, is this the Nate kid you were talking about in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Well, you were going on about him. I thought he was your son.
Oh, ha. Yeah, I should be so lucky. No, I spent like 15 minutes with the kid today, and he is around 100 times funnier and quicker than I am. He's if, like, Nathan Lane and the Tasmanian Devil had a baby. Oh.
You getting off?
Yeah, I gotta get the cake out of the kitchen.
Nate peeks out of the cart and sees his aunt's departing figure. As the elevator doors close, he retreats back into his hiding place. Later, adults chat at various tables near a moose exhibit while kids dance. Nate approaches a girl.
Oh, pardon me. Hello. I'm lost and I need to get to the kitchen. Do I know you? Huh? What's your name? Huh? I said, what's your name?
Back home.
It's just a lot of pressure, you know? And it's like, I'm never allowed to screw up. I'm never allowed to lose or anything. It's like I'm my parents' only hope at, like, a future, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's cool. Should we kiss, or?
Anthony shrugs and leans in.
Anthony, my stepsister just sent me this TikTok.
I'm kind of in the middle of something here, man. Don't really need to see memes right now.
Look, this is in New York.
Anthony takes the teen's phone, which shows a video of Nate performing in Times Square.
Oh my gosh!
He runs downstairs, pushing through partygoers. At the museum, Nate dances in a circle with other kids, then helps lift a boy sitting in a chair. Wearing a suit, the boy pumps his fist, then looks down at Nate.
Are we cousins? Sure!
The boy resumes dancing as Nate and his companions lower him to the floor. Heidi enters with a dinosaur cake.
Okay, kids, we're about to do the candle lighting ceremony.
She comes face to face with Nate.
L'chaim!
She drops the cake. Meanwhile, a car pulls away from Libby's place as she walks up the driveway.
Well, well, well.
Anthony approaches.
Do you want to tell me why my idiot little brother is in New York City right now going viral on TikTok? Well?
Do I want to tell you or do I have to tell you?
Libby.
Libby holds out her phone for Anthony to see.
Why is my aunt calling you?
She thinks I'm your mom. It's kind of a long story.
Lightning flashes. In a hotel room, a news report plays on TV.
Get out your umbrellas. We're expecting spring showers all day tomorrow in northern West Virginia.
Of course, it figures rain on our last day of vacation.
Anthony isn't responding to any of my texts about the meet.
The couple lounges in bed.
Do you think the boys miss us?
Us? Greatest parents in the world? Come on.
I just don't want Nate and Anthony to grow apart like me and Heidi. You know I still regret not going to her opening night thing.
Have you thought about calling her lately, babe?
I don't even know if she'd pick up. And the crazy thing is, I'm kind of jealous of her.
You, come on. Really?
She had a dream. I never had a dream.
This isn't your dream?
Babe.
Sherry cups her husband's face.
A tourist kid from Pennsylvania wowed a crowd tonight in Times Square.
You think I should call her? Be the bigger person?
Probably.
And believe me, you don't want to miss this kid.
Nate's dad mutes the TV.
But right now, I think we should celebrate our anniversary. Triceps.
They remain oblivious to the video of Nate playing on TV. Meanwhile...
You made me drop the cake, okay? That pays the rent.
I'm not talking to you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, I am putting you on the first bus out because, you know, it's the right thing to do. That's all.
Heidi leans back against her pillow.
Lilo and Stitch will still be running in a year, okay? If your mom decides you can audition, then you can audition.
Lights and shifting colors stream through the windows of the apartment as Nate lies in a makeshift bed near Heidi's. Pulling open a nightstand drawer, Heidi takes out a bunch of envelopes, then shuts the drawer and steps to Nate. She gently smacks her nephew with the envelopes, then climbs back into bed. Frowning, Nate sits up.
What's this?
Your last 5 birthday cards.
You remembered my birthday?
Yeah, every year. I didn't know if you'd want to hear from me. But no matter what, we're family. So.
Nate sets the cards on the floor.
But you yelled at me in front of all those bar mitzvah kids and made me feel like I was back in middle school. I'm the only boy in 7th grade who knows every lyric to Corner of the Sky. There's no justice.
Well, everything has its season. Everything has its time. I guarantee you are not the only boy who knows every lyric to Pippin. Some just aren't comfortable yet letting everyone know it.
Nate shifts his eyes awkwardly.
You're not going to cry, are you?
No. I just, you know, you remind me of, like, me.
Really?
That's, like, a compliment? You think that's a compliment? That's amazing.
Of course it's a compliment. You're literally all I want to be when I grow up. 3 weeks on Broadway, an apartment in New York.
Queens, but...
Queens is still New York. And you're still my hero.
Nate lowers his gaze, eyeing him fondly. His aunt smiles to herself.
Aww.
Nate lies back, crossing his arms over his blanket.
You know what? You're going to that call back tomorrow. I mean, your mom knows you're here, right?
Are you being serious?
Yes, but you have to stop shouting because you have to save your voice.
Do you have any audition tips?
She raises her eyebrows, scoffing.
Oh. Okay, yeah, you know, so I'm not the best singer, but there was this trick I used to use for musicals, okay? You hold the sheet music, right? Like, you know, you haven't really fully memorized the song, and then halfway through, just casually let it drop to the floor. Like, wait, not only do I know this song, I'm gonna blow you away in the final verse. It's surprisingly effective.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And, find your light. Everybody forgets that. But how are they gonna remember you if they can't see you?
Nate gazes off.
Yeah, find your light.
Okay. Heidi smiles as she leans back. Her expression grows thoughtful.
I looked up to her, you know, your mom. I really did.
Nate drifts off.
She got the one thing I couldn't get. An amazing kid.
She sees Nate asleep and smiles. She takes a closer look at him, then glances off pensively before leaning toward him.
I love you.
She lies down, and a view pulls away from the two of them as the light through the windows keeps changing colors. The photo of Anthony and Nate as young boys sits on Heidi's nightstand. As Nate sleeps, a view of him blurs. In Fantasy Times Square, he's tossed to the curb.
Callback was a disaster, and you blew it big time, kid. Back to Pittsburgh for you.
Can I borrow some money for the bus?
Try hitchhiking. It'll build your character.
Quick flashes show a buzzer being pressed while Nate shifts in his sleep.
Nate!
Nate bolts upright.
Nathan!
Crap.
Heidi leads Libby and Anthony in.
Where is he?
Gotta pee.
Around the corner.
How are you here right now? Hi, Anthony.
He's like a giant.
Hi, Aunt Heidi. Long time no everything, I guess. Don't hi Anthony me, Nate.
Okay, bye, Anthony. And I can live with Aunt Heidi in New York? Perfect.
Yeah, like Mom would ever let that happen.
So what then? Are they waiting downstairs for me with handcuffs?
They don't even know we're here. Get in my truck.
Wait,
right now.
What? What? You didn't tell on me?
No, I'm the one who's supposed to be watching you, remember? Get it downstairs right now.
Okay, please just let me stay for 2 more hours so I can go to my callback.
Anthony hesitates. Nate's eyes fill with tears.
I know I embarrass you, Anthony. Every day. And I know that you hate being my brother. Just please let me have this one thing.
Anthony makes a fist with a frustrated expression.
I've been trying to explain how big a Broadway callback is for 7 hours, so good luck. But just for the record, you may have run away, but Anthony apparently threw quite a party, which I'm sure your parents wouldn't be happy about, so you have some leverage here.
Ooh, you're good. You should be an agent someday. Want to be my agent?
Is that a real job?
That's the best job, okay? You collect 10% of an actor's salary by making phone calls and going to 3 lunches a day. And you don't have to humiliate yourself in an audition.
And you get to see what makes people amazing before they even know it about themselves. That's what an agent does, too.
Good Lord, I'm gonna ring you.
Why are you limping?
Quit changing the subject.
Let me just say that for your little brother to have even gotten a callback is kind of remarkable. It says big things about Nate's talent, Anthony.
On Libby's prompting, Nate grabs a coat.
It's 2 hours. 2 hours.
He goes into the bedroom. Libby drops a vase.
Oh, no.
My favorite vase.
Nate!
As Nate emerges on the fire escape and runs down the stairs, the others enter the bedroom.
Oh, no!
Anthony hobbles to the open window and looks down at his brother.
Nate! Stop!
Nate descends a ladder.
He's always wanted to escape out a window.
He dangles off the bottom of the ladder.
God, he is a great client.
Nate drops to the ground, then glances up at the others before running off, Heidi's trench coat billowing behind him. Upstairs, the trio moves into the living room.
Can I catch this punk?
Meanwhile, clinging to the straps of his backpack, Nate races through an underpass, then hurries up the stairs to a subway station. He comes up against a turnstile and pushes on it to no effect.
I know you're not about to hop over that turnstile.
Oh, thank goodness, a subway person. I'm experiencing an emergency.
An emergency? Really?
I need to get to Manhattan. It's a matter of life, death, and dreams.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Are you?
Yo, Keith. Come here.
Quick. Donnie looked like the kid that went viral on TikTok.
I did?
The workers dance.
Yes, that's me. I'm the kid.
Gaping, the female worker pulls out her phone.
Can I get a selfie for my niece?
Can I get a free ride on the subway?
Moments later, Nate arrives on a platform, his hair blowing in the wind as a train pulls in.
Let's go!
At Heidi's.
Oh, he took my trench coat.
Libby tosses her the purple jacket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, where's my...
Libby hands them over.
So we're gonna just find him at the audition studio, and it's gonna be okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
They head out.
You know, when all this is over, I want to know how much you pay for this place.
Okay, you'd be surprised.
On the train, Nate studies a map.
Excuse me, do you know the stop for Broadway?
Which Broadway? Well, there's a lot of Broadways.
You know, like, the Broadway? They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
That's the TikTok kid!
Other passengers grin in recognition. Later, the train doors open and Nate's feet hurry out ahead of others. Meanwhile, Heidi, Anthony, and Libby climb a staircase.
As long as he's alive, everything will be okay.
Yeah, so I can kill him.
Over his agent's dead body.
All right, nobody's murdering anyone!
You started it.
Be respectful. This is an audition place.
Anthony follows his aunt through a door which shuts to reveal a sign reading, A Solitary Woman, Audition Room 1. Elsewhere, Nate moves down a sidewalk, the multicolored rabbit's foot dangling from his backpack. He stops and gazes up at something with a wondrous smile. As he turns, a view rotates to reveal a digital marquee for the upcoming Lilo and Stitch musical behind him. Nate takes a selfie with it. He texts the photo to Libby, then hurries into the theater. Meanwhile, Heidi faces the security guard at his desk.
Lilo and Stitch, it was a cartoon. Can you just please check the schedule again? There's no way he just made this up.
100% kidnapped.
Don't stop saying that.
There's no Lilo and Stitch on the schedule today. Promise.
Okay, you haven't seen anybody this morning who looks like me? Just like a little shorter, kind of gawky?
He is not gawky. He is incredibly castable and very cuddly, no matter who he chooses to love.
Okay.
Yeah. Heidi swivels the guard's computer monitor.
Ma'am!
I just want...
Libby checks her phone.
Ma'am? I'm ma'am to you? We could have gone to college together.
Anthony grabs Libby's phone.
Mike!
He sees the photo.
You knew the callback wasn't here, didn't you? And Heidi.
What?
He's at some place called the Amsterdam Theater.
New Amsterdam, Anthony. New. Words matter.
Now, a view lowers from a sign reading stage door to find kids waiting in line outside the theater. As Nate runs over and joins the back of the line, the dark-haired girl, Kalea, turns to him.
You.
Me. Hello.
This is a Lilo and Stitch final callback, right?
I hope so.
And why did you come dressed as Ebony from Les Mis?
Nate's face falls. Kalea beams.
Good luck!
The casting director steps out.
Okay, let's cast a musical.
Yes! Parents watch as the casting director motions the line of kids into the theater. Bringing up the rear, Nate pauses before the man.
Don't worry, I'm losing the coat.
He goes in. The casting director shuts the door behind himself. Meanwhile, Heidi presses the elevator call button.
Come on. Oh, I feel like Elizabeth Shue in Adventures in Babysitting when the kid she's watching is stabbed in the foot.
Anthony and Libby shrug.
Well, I'm 100. Hi, I'm 100 years old.
Heidi.
Oh my gosh. Don't look at me. I'm a mess.
You disappeared yesterday. I hate when good people disappear. A Solitary Woman is a major play, Heidi. Yeah. It's been a bear to cast.
Sorry, family emergency.
Look, I just got a last minute no-show, and the director hasn't liked anybody this week. Can I slot you in?
Is this an out-of-town job or straight to Broadway?
All right, that's a really good question, actually.
Straight to Broadway, baby.
You're doing this audition.
Meet us at the Amsterdam Theater.
Anthony. It's not a famously liberal city in Europe. It's a Broadway theater.
The kids leave. The casting director gives Heidi her audition signs.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. No, yeah. Okay.
In the theater's wings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A female reader sits to the side of the stage as a kid exits.
Okay, whenever you're ready, Nate.
Squeezing past the other kids, Nate makes his way onto the large, brightly lit stage and faces the creative team seated in the audience. A long-haired woman sits at the center of the group. Wow. Nate no longer wears the trench coat.
I barely had any time to memorize these sides, so...
That's not important. Just do your best. Start with Stitch's entrance in the first scene.
Nate glances at his sides.
How do you plead? Not guilty. My experiments are only theoretical and completely within legal boundaries.
Nate, if you actually want to start over and just read Stitch's...
No worries. I got this. We believe you actually created something.
Created something?
Ha! But that would be irresponsible and unethical. And then it says Stitch turns around in the glass jar.
Nate crouches and turns in a circle, his shoulders hunched and his teeth bared. He straightens.
What is that monstrosity?
As Stitch, he snarls, then reads for another character.
Monstrosity? What you see before you is the...
The creatives wear uncertain expressions.
This is what you get from Pittsburgh.
And then Jumba sings the song 626 is not just a number.
And which is actually getting rewritten as we sit here. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should I not have...
No, no. You were... That was fine, Nate.
Nate notices the reader off to the side.
Oh, hi. Were you there the whole time?
The whole time.
Oh. Nate? Hi. I'm the director. Have you had a chance to learn the song?
With the other kids, sure.
Listen, when you get to the part in the duet where Lilo chimes in, just let that music play in the background.
Nate's brow furrows.
Just sing Stitch's lyrics, I mean. You only have to play Stitch today.
Oh my gosh, I'm such an idiot.
With an embarrassed expression, Nate glances at the other kids laughing in the wings. Meanwhile, Heidi stands at the back of a line of mostly blonde women. A woman ahead of her covers her mouth as she laughs.
Okay, what's so funny?
The woman shows Heidi her phone.
How amazing is this kid?
The viral video of Nate plays on her screen. As the other woman returns her attention to the video, Heidi's smile fades. She lowers her sides with a quick shake of her head, hesitating briefly before turning and heading off. As she leaves her sides on a chair and hurries away, the other women stare after her. At the theater.
Let's go.
Anthony holds the stage door open for Libby. Inside, Nate waits in the wings.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, Nate.
Nate starts for the stage.
You know you're the only kid here who didn't show up with a parent today, right? Good luck!
Hello?
Anthony and Libby sit in the balcony.
Nate?
The director wears a doubtful expression. Holding his sheet music, Nate steps out onto the stage, shielding his eyes against a bright spotlight as it follows him to the center. A piano player sits at the back.
Okay. Do you have any questions before you sing?
Just one. In the movie, Stitch can't really speak sentences, so how does he sing lyrics in the musical?
Because, you know, musicals allow us to say things we can't actually say in real life.
Nate lowers his eyes pensively. Heidi arrives in the balcony. As she takes a seat, Nate notices her watching him from beside Anthony, who sits with his arms crossed on the balcony railing. Nate eyes his sheet music. Anthony and his aunt trade a worried look while the director crosses her arms, her brow furrowed.
I'll admit I don't know much about this life. I've spent a long time on the outside looking in, never feeling accepted. thinking that's just the way it was. But something happened. Somehow life brought you to me, and I think that's when I realized I belong. My family's been here all along, and boy, it's good to have a friend. So maybe I don't always need to feel so small. Maybe this planet ain't so bad after all. From here on out.
Thanks, Nate. I think we're good.
As Anthony looks on, Nate lowers the sheet music dejectedly. The spotlight goes off. Turning, Nate trudges toward the wings on the other side of the stage.
You don't embarrass me!
Nate freezes. The creative team looks up at Anthony standing in the balcony.
I promise. You don't embarrass me, Nate.
With his back to the audience, Nate manages an emotional smile. His brother remains standing. Stopped near the piano player, Nate slowly raises his sheet music back up. He gathers himself.
So, from here on out, I'll never let you down. I won't be perfect all the time, but I'm always gonna try. Yeah, I don't care where, I'll always be right there, 'cause I've got family to call mine, and family means no one gets left behind.
He hurries back to the stage center.
You bet I'll try to bring you all the sunny days, and if you cry, I'll be there all the same. So bring the thunder, bring the rain, 'cause you know.
He tosses the sheet music.
Let you down, 'cause I've got a family to call mine, and family means no one gets left behind. Yeah, oh, left behind.
Stepping out of the light, Nate eyes his family.
From here on out, I'll never let you down. Can't claim I'll do everything right.
Find your light.
But I'll love you all my life, yeah. I don't.
He moves back under the spotlight. Anthony applauds.
We don't do that. It's inappropriate.
Smiling, Nate puts a hand to his heart.
Okay, Nate. I think that's all we're gonna need.
Nate heads toward the other kids waiting in the wings, pausing for one last glance at his audience. The kids applaud.
Good luck.
He gives Kalea a bright smile and leaves. Moments later, he steps out into the lobby wearing the coat.
Hi.
Libby, Anthony, and Heidi turn toward him. Anthony walks over.
I didn't know you could, like, do all that.
You don't let me sing in the house.
Oh, wow, your comebacks have gotten sharper in New York.
Really?
Well, they have.
I dropped the sheet music like you told me to. I saw.
Yeah, I had just left my own audition, and let me just say, you should be giving me tips.
My mom just sent me an all caps text that says, why aren't you at your dad's? I'm worried sick.
Perfect timing. I'm double parked. Let's go.
Nate, here.
She hands him something in a bag.
It's a gift. I picked it up on my way at some, like, dumb tourist trap in Times Square, so.
Anthony, someone's putting a ticket on your truck.
Oh, go now. You go now.
My bad, officer!
Anthony and Libby run out.
I got you a gift, too.
The coat.
I hope it's your size.
Great. Oh, I'm gonna miss this. Well, you should go, Nate.
Nate lingers.
I hope I don't see you at Christmas this year.
Jeez, Nate, that was harsh.
Because I hope you get the part in the play and you're too busy to come home.
Oh, I skipped out on that audition, sweetie. I just wanted to be here with you. And I'm so glad I was.
Not to alarm anyone, but your mom is on the phone with your brother right now, and she and your dad are leaving the resort soon. And Anthony said a lot of words under his breath that I can't really say in front of an adult, but I believe he'd bleeping like you to get in the bleeping truck now. So basically, if you two are gonna cry, cry bleeping quick.
Libby heads back out.
Thanks for the audition tips.
Nate backs away.
Oh, Nate, can you just tell your mom? I don't even remember why we're fighting. And I miss her.
Okay, I will.
And I'm sorry.
Pausing by the doors, Nate gazes back at his aunt.
I really meant it last night. You're my hero.
He leaves. Heidi smiles emotionally.
Cool.
She watches Nate run off, then hurries toward the doors and exits the theater herself. In Anthony's truck, Libby sits shotgun.
I call DJ.
No show tunes or I drive off the highway.
You really have learned nothing today, have you?
Baby steps.
In the back, Nate puts on Heidi's gift, a cap bearing the words Broadway Legend. He peers out his window, then looks out the back of the truck, putting a hand on the rear windshield. On the sidewalk, Heidi raises her hand as if pressing her palm to his. Nate mouths the words, I love you. Placing her hand on her chest, Heidi fights back tears as she watches the truck pull away. At the resort, Nate's dad loads luggage into a car.
Well, I'm very proud of the boys.
What happened?
Anthony said Nate couldn't come to the phone because, you're not going to believe this, Nate is teaching him how to sing.
That's kind of nice. Yeah?
Yeah.
As long as it's not wicked. I can't. I really can't.
Anthony's truck passes the Pennsylvania sign.
So if you care to find me, look to the western sky.
Anthony sings with the younger kids. The truck comes to a stop. Standing on her driveway, Libby watches Nate switch to the front passenger seat. He looks out the window at her.
Thanks for making me run away. Seriously. It was, you know, very agent-like of you.
Libby smiles and nods.
I think I found my thing.
She briefly lowers her pensive gaze, then looks back up at Nate. He waves as the truck moves off.
Love you like a sister!
Love you like a sister, too!
Later, Libby!
She turns and heads in. In the daytime, Nate's school bus moves out of view to reveal his house's front entrance. At school, a low view takes in students moving through the hallways. In the library, Nate sits alone, his textbook covered in practice signatures.
Hey, Lib. It's been a week and no news.
Why aren't you in study hall? I'm spiraling.
Okay, love you, bye.
Nate lowers his phone, ignoring paper balls being tossed at him. In the bathroom, he eyes his reflection.
Loser.
I've gotta be where my spirit can run free. Gonna find my corner of the sky.
As Nate looks on, Jimmy Madison steps out of a stall. Nate's jaw drops.
If you tell anyone.
Nate Foster to the principal's office. Nate Foster to the principal's office.
Your secret is safe with me.
With a sincere smile, Nate heads out of the bathroom, leaving Jimmy staring after him.
Nate Foster to the principal's office.
Whatever I did, I didn't do it.
Nate finds his parents waiting in the office.
What's going on?
Nate, did you take a trip to New York without telling us?
The subway lady said I could hop over the turnstile.
No, Nate, it's not that. Anthony shouldn't get in trouble. He actually kind of saved me.
Nate!
And Libby shouldn't be grounded. If anyone should, it's me.
I'm not.
and you're not.
Nady, honey, we got a call.
The initial offer is low, but workable.
Nate's dad flashes him a thumbs up.
Wait.
Libby smiles with a hand at her heart.
You mean...
Just getting credits appear. Libby hands Nate a photo of the two of them from her locker. The two shut their lockers, bump hips, and leave. Libby turns on the lights for the school stage. The two friends stand behind tree cutouts.
But hold up just a second. I'm about to go out.
They push the cutouts away. Now Libby films Nate on her phone.
Before I met Libby, I had no friends. But now I have friend. And because of her, I will be performing the role of Stitch at 2 matinees per week. And sometimes more often if the star is sick.
Wearing sunglasses, the two strut past their schoolmates.
We started from the bottom, now we're rising to the top.
Now you got it going and she's never gonna stop.
It pays to have a beastie that goes this hard. If you want
Libby hands Jimmy a business card.
Business card.
Dear pearls, get out of your shells at your world.
We gotta cheer each other on.
The friends hold hands and spin.
Until Queendom come.
They collapse, laughing. Later, they dance down a vacant hallway.
We are, we are, we are. We are, we are, we are. But hold up just a second. I'm about to go out.
Before Nate came back into my life, I was a cater waiter with a rent-controlled apartment. But now, I'm a solitary woman with a rent-controlled apartment and an amazing family and agent.
Just getting started, we about to go out.
Libby struts out of school with Nate behind her, lugging their suitcases. Libby signals to Anthony, who waits by his truck. Taking the luggage from Nate, he tosses it in the back of the vehicle.
But hold up just a second. I'm about to go out.
Nate turns back, taking off his shades as he gazes at the school.
I'm about to go out.
Libby taps him and they head off with their arms around each other.
For the longest time, I always thought of Libby as my little brother's loud, intelligent friend. But now, I pledge that if I ever decide to go pro one day, I will hire Libby as my sports agent. Is that good?
Let's just say there's a reason Nate's the actor of the family.
Can I try another take?
Hold on. You need lip gloss.
I'm a star maker, yeah. A mover and shaker. Only 13, but bringing home the vegan bacon. The hustles I like hard and I don't sell dreams. But if I'm representing, it'll be a small fair.
Libby cheers with Nate's family as the cast of Lilo and Stitch takes a curtain call.
I love you.
Sherry hugs Heidi. Nate removes the head of his Stitch costume.
That's my brother!
The young star smiles as the packed theater gives a standing ovation.
Just getting started, we're about to go out!
Nate puts a hand to his heart and mouths the words, "Thank you." Sweat plasters his hair to his head as he beams, a tear rolling down his cheek.
But hold up just a second. I'm about to go out.
Cut to black.
I'm about to go out. Calling all bows, chicks around the world. This is your moment, own it, sister, warm it up. The world is your oyster and we are the pearls.
I'll admit I don't know much about this life. I spent a long time on the outside looking in, never feeling accepted, thinking that's just the way it was. But something happened, somehow life brought you to me, and I think that's when I realized I belong. My family's been here all along, and boy, it's good to have a friend. So maybe I don't always need to feel so small. Maybe this planet ain't so bad. From here on out, I'll never let you down. I won't be perfect all the time, but I'm always gonna try. Yeah, I don't care where, I'll always be right there, 'cause I've got a family to call mine. left behind. You bet I'll try to bring you all the sunny days, and if you cry, I'll be there all the same. So bring the thunder, bring the rain, 'cause you but I'll love you all my life, yeah. I don't care where, I'll always be right there, 'cause I've got a family to call mine, and family means no one gets left behind, yeah, oh, left behind, 'cause family means no one gets left behind, yeah, oh, left behind, yeah, oh.
Audio description by Deluxe, funded by Disney Plus Originals, voiced by Mike DeBonis. Glittering light arcs over the turrets of a magnificent fairy tale castle, Disney,